Back in my room, man, after being in Dallas 1 week and being in Alaska another week. Get your boy Flo Pito. This is Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop for NXT UK, NXT content. How's everyone living right there live on that Facebook, that YouTube, that Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn? I'm going to break down all the action and all the multicolored brands happening under the WWE umbrella. But as always, I am not alone. I'm being joined by the man who's done so many things. I'm running out of space and time to say it, but you can follow him on that Real Jack Farm on social media because he tells you what he's doing, working on right now. Give it up for the Jack Farmer. How's it going, sir?
Yeah, where the hell have you been?
Just slacking off, man.
Nerve to make me do research last week. The nerve to make me take notes. How dare you?
And people loved you, man. You had that baby face, you know?
That's all I have. It's the moisturizer. That's what does it all.
We were talking about that before we went live on our skincare regimens. What's up, Kirsten? What's going on? Manly stuff. Yes, talking about wrestling. Yes.
The scary thing about Flobo's skincare regimen is it's exactly like the guy from American Psycho.
Oh, yeah. I just take my time in the morning.
He peels off the mask in the morning.
It's the best feeling ever, peeling off that mask. I'm being real with you. Yeah, man. So let's start off with the news breaking this week. We're getting a premium live event in Wales, Cardiff, in September. Now, I know with the WWE, man, there was the whole thing about making Money in the Bank, a stadium show. SummerSlam's getting moved up in July, but this could be one of the biggest shows of the year. Thoughts about that one, Jack Farmer?
This is a show that, you're right, could be massive, even just because that crowd is going to be electric once they're there. They haven't had a stadium show. I can't remember the exact amount of time, but it's like 30 years or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And as we see, the audience over there is just fantastic, even with these smaller shows, as we'll call it, within NXT UK. So when they fill up an arena, it's going to get packed. They're going to sell out. They're going to sell a ton of tickets, and everyone there is going to be cuckoo bananas, as Johnny Gargano used to say. And yeah. I think two seats that need to be filled are two seats filled by these butts at the American broadcast table.
Yeah.
That's right. You and me, we need to be there, Flobo.
Let's do it, man. I need someone to go through our table in the first match so we can sit there awkwardly and go, ah! I'm so hyped, man. I hope we get a takeover. I don't know if you call them takeovers now. A stand and deliver. I'm not sure what the branding is, but I do hope you get an NXT UK a live event as well that weekend. That would be huge for the brand across the board.
I would love it if we were the American announce table even during the big stadium show for like the main roster.
Yeah.
Show. So we're the American announce table right next to Corey Graves and
right.
Michael Cole, and
you got to use more slang.
They're like, we're American. What are you doing here? We're like, well, partner,
apple pies and freedom. That's what that's what we like.
Apple pies and freedom.
We're gonna get canceled. Watch. So let's get into it, man. NXT UK, another banger episode. I'm still waiting to get inching closer to that tag team title match next week. But our main event, Tiamat against A-Kid. A-Kid is bi-coastal. Doing the thing, doing matches here in the United States, doing matches here in the United Kingdom today. On the short end of the stick, because DeFamilia once again finds a way to get out the victory. You know what, Jack?
Yeah.
I know you're a fan of Tiamat and company, but
excellence.
But I would argue that maybe this is kind of like a side quest for them, no?
I get what you're saying, because they're meant for such bigger things. I want to say in this match, Tiamat and A-Kid just had incredible chemistry together in that ring. They worked together amazingly. This is a really fun match to watch, but the way that Tiamat was able to be so innovative throughout this match with so many moves that we haven't seen before, and even keep A-Kid, one of the most fluid wrestlers going, keeping him guessing, keeping him on his toes, able to get the win over A-Kid, a guy that we've said many times is the future of pro wrestling. I think today Tiamat announced and made official that he is at the top tier of wrestlers in NXT UK.
Fair enough. Kind of a side question. Next week will be the 1-year anniversary of the debut of a DFAM million member, Rohan Raja, if you had to give him a grade as a mystery GM you are, what would you give him?
That's a really good question. Because I think everything he's done has been done well. He's done a great job in what everything he's set out to do. I think he could accomplish more, though. So it's one of those, I'd kind of like to see him push himself a little bit more and do a little bit more. So I'd give him a B minus.
Oh, okay. So Tiamat's holding him back is what you're saying.
I'm not saying Tiamat's
I think that's what you're saying. Back. That's exactly what you're saying. That's exactly what you're saying.
I'm saying that he's focusing on the family. I'd like to see him get some dubs himself, get in the ring a little bit more. The only thing that's holding him back is the fact that he's not in the ring as often as I'd like to see him.
Well, okay. So we will get to that a little bit later, but we know Gallus's fortunes aren't the greatest. But with that kind of jockeying position of the factions in UK, with subculture still mostly on the shelf and Symbiosis dealing with Wild Boar, is he familiar on top when it comes to factions in NXT UK?
I think it's hard to argue anything else. Tiamat and DeFamilia, they win every time they come to the ring. They dominate in everything they do. They dress better than everyone else. They live in the tallest of the penthouses. In what way could you judge a faction and say that any faction in any category is beating DeFamilia? They in every single aspect, they're number one.
They don't have gold.
What faction does?
Gallus did at one point. They were the former tag team champions.
Well, yeah, Bruno Sammartino used to be a champion, too.
What?
Like, what does that mean?
Leave Bruno alone. This is what I want, Bruno. Fine. Good things were happening.
Bruno Sammartino, I love him to death.
You hate him to death.
I always use him as my old wrestler.
You always dunk on Bruno Sammartino. He did everything for you, Jack. He put his butt in the line. Jack's like, well, Bruno Sammartino was a chump.
Everything I love about pro wrestling was built on his back, and I always use him as the example of an old wrestler for some reason.
Just awful. Well, let's talk about what's happening with the women's division, because it's a topsy-turvy time. To me, the biggest story, Isla Dawn relinquishes the title she stole from Mako Satomura, which is great, but she wants a match on her terms, not before misting the champion, Jack Farmer. Now, Isla Dawn's challenge for the NXT women's title came out of nowhere, at least to me, but now I'm on board, man. I want to see it.
It was, as she came out, you noticed Isla Dawn just has a control over everything in her surroundings, whether it be the music, whether it be the presentation with the cameras. Something about Isla Dawn just oozes control wherever she is. And she gave back the championship. And I'm sure Mako, to a degree, is feeling like she got what she wanted. But looking at how Isla Dawn does things and how she gets ready for her matches, I don't know if Mako really wants that championship back. It might not be the championship she lost in the first place. It might now have something darker to it. And speaking of darker, mm-hmm. that black mist, like a black omen. I don't know. If I'm Mako Satomura, I would be very hesitant. And I know Mako Satomura loves to take on all challengers, but this might be the opponent she wants to duck. This doesn't look good for her.
And I'll be honest with you, if someone were to spit in my face, I'd be a little bit more upset. And I mentioned this on Twitter. Mako Satomura is always pretty good, but this could be a whole different thing for another gear, if you will. Isla Dawn, Mako Satomura, who do you got?
I think we saw a real teaser for this. Isla Dawn doing to Mako Satomura the same way thing that Dinosaur did to Newman in Jurassic Park. I think Isla Dawn gets the win here.
Whoa, new women's champion. Interesting.
Meanwhile, it's time. Again, we constantly say that Isla Dawn gets better every time she's able to take something from an opponent, and she took possibly the greatest thing in wrestling from her opponent and has held on to it, and she almost beat Mako Satomura without it last time. So I have to assume she's going to come in stronger and better than before, and if that's the case, I don't think Mako stands a chance.
Oh, Dylan Matthews says, Isla Dawn should be commended for giving away the title. Commended? She stole it. What are you talking about?
It was very big of her.
Oh, gosh. You are okay. Anyway, elsewhere in this division, Amelia McKenzie is giving interview, and she should know from Amel that you don't want to have packages made about you, because Stevie Turner's upset. And she's like, you know what? You know that Mako messes around with you because you're not a threat. Ha ha! Amelia McKenzie, that's someone we always wanted to see more of. Here's a chance for her to make her way on that solo charts against a very game four-dimensional Stevie Turner.
I agree with everything Turner is saying. I feel what? Like what? I thought for a very long time. I think that Mako has been hiding behind the moniker of mentor, and I think McKenzie's been falling for it. I think the reason Amelia McKenzie looks so angry and looks so frustrated and looks so upset about this is Turner's words hit with her. They resonated with her. They, as the kids would say, she felt that.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Grandpa.
Bruno San Martino is the
greatest question. Leave Bruno alone. We don't talk about Bruno. So okay, here's the deal. We got the match up there happening. It looks like it's going to happen. It's not official yet with Amelia McKenzie and Stevie Turner. Stevie Turner is someone I'm a big fan of, but I said she's never got that win she needs. Now, let's imagine just for a second the match does happen and Stevie Turner does win. What's that put in the pecking order after I let Don at the Mikkels out of more?
The women's division has had a very up and down roller coaster ride over the past year. It felt like there was 100 contenders all ready to go, and now it feels like the field has thinned out a little bit. I think if Stevie Turner can get a win, I think it puts her very close to contention, up there with, again, assuming Isla Dawn and Mako are now off the list because they're having a match. I think outside of Stevie Turner and Amel, and maybe, and we'll get into it, but Eliza Alexander, possibly, I don't really see many other people that could be ahead of her if Stevie Turner can get the win.
Let's get into it right now. Isla Alexander, no relation to Cedric, had a match against Angel Hayes. And even though the new associate for Zaya Brookside got the dub, the NXT UK faithful are hanging out with Angel Hayes with this one. I was a bit surprised. Jack Farmer, the new muscle for Zaya Brookside.
To your point about Angel Hayes, it was incredible. The NXT UK universe just loved her, and they were behind her all the way. I don't know. I guess I don't know too much of Angel Hayes' backstory. Maybe I need to give that a quick Google, but I don't know if she's a local legend around there. I don't know if people who were in attendance knew her, if that was her hometown or something like that, but they were riding hard for her. I think she probably had the best reaction of the night in that building. And that's incredible considering she didn't get a lot of offense in. She wasn't exactly dominant in her match, which leads me to Eliza Alexander, who just everything about her screams dangerous. The music sounds dangerous. The way she comes to the ring sounds dangerous. And I think that especially how lopsided this match was, she just showed power and dominance. And if I was in the women's division in NXT UK right now, I would be very concerned knowing that she's there.
Yeah, Ms. Alexander had a knee that made me go, ooh, it was a classic knee to the temple there to get that win. But my point about Angel Hayes, it doesn't take a lot to be featured in the match where you don't get any offense in. I could sign up for a match and beat Destroyer. I personally hate anyone on the roster.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have a choice.
Yeah, I don't have a choice, exactly. So basically, I booked you versus Gunther next week, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'll show you how you get beat, Flobo.
By the way, but to connect with the audience while doing that is another thing. I mean, a lot of things to say about Angel Hayes. I hope she comes back. She may be my Josh Morrell camp of like, will you come out there? I'm like, oh, yeah, Josh Morrell, please win this time.
So, yeah.
Who knows? But that I love
Josh Morrell. We are the biggest fans of Josh Morrell. he's kind of one of our home team picks too. But Angel Hayes, again, I got to Google her, but she was just everyone seemed right from the jump into her and excited about her and wanting to see her. If she can find a way to get a little bit more competitive and hang in there with the Alexanders of the world, then she's got a career ahead of her.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of people with careers, while Boris back trying to get back on track. But now his new buddy, Mark Andrews, is with him. And I'm doing the squinty eye shruggy thing because Mark Andrews is still rocking subculture, but subculture is still pretty much on the shelf. But there is a common enemy in symbiosis. While Boar and subculture, are you with it or against it?
Leave it to Mark Andrews to try to take advantage of an intellectually inferior person like Wild Boar. Leave it to Mark Andrews to try to tell Wild Boar how to think. Try to tell him how to strategize and just be this evil puppet master over an animalistic person. it's just sickening seeing people like Mark Andrews do this.
Boers are pretty smart. You take that back, sir.
No, Boer is clearly going through something.
Yes, a vengeance quest against the guys who injured him.
and Mark Andrews says to himself, my friends aren't around right now. Let me go manipulate someone else to get them to do my dirty deeds. Let me go manipulate someone else to do something evil. It makes me sick when someone tries to use their smarts to get other people to do things for them.
I'm helping you move next week, Jack. What are you trying to say? I'm just kidding.
Well,
I would never help you move. No. Well, I'm down for this tag team, and maybe this might be the vengeance that Wild Boar needs, because Symbiosis is a staple. They're a faction, and you can't do it alone. So why not have these two guys together?
Let me ask you this. How does Wild Boar get vengeance? What's his plan?
No.
Let me ask. What's Mark Andrews' plan for Wild Boar to get vengeance?
He wants to help out a friend.
It was clear. You have a track record with this Flobo. It's very concerning. They said if Wild Boar could beat Primate, then maybe he could get Eddie Dennis.
Okay.
Did Wild Boar beat Primate?
Pretty handedly.
No.
Pretty decisively. No, he beat him. Lost. I swear he beat him.
And he lost that match, just like Ready and Forward lost theirs. They shouldn't get the match either.
Did not lose it. They were unfair.
Okay. They were unfair.
It was a bad situation.
I can imagine that in like the Super Bowl, like the Bengals lose due to unfair.
So exactly. You understand.
So he didn't win. He didn't earn the right to face Eddie Dennis. This is something I think is pretty clear. I think a kindergartner could understand this.
Awful. This is why you're not the GM of NXT UK, because it'd be pandemonium if you were in charge.
There would be peace and harmony, and that's why I'm not, because this is a conflict business.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of conflicts, we're getting our first back alley brawl, which is already sounding tougher than most promotions, with Sam Gradwell, the Thunderstorm, against Kenny Williams, because, you know, maggots and cockroaches aren't really cool. Now, we've seen Kenny Williams struggle backstage before. I mean, his car was on blocks, and someone put maggots in his bag and all that stuff. But here's the question, though. When it comes down to this actual matchup, does Kenny Williams have the advantage?
I'm glad you said that, because I was looking at this and I was going through and thinking that as a back alley brawl, this might be one of the best matchups you could have for this kind of thing. I look at Sam Gradwell and he is built in a lab for a back alley brawl, in the fact that he's fit, he's tough, he's strong, he's fast, he's resilient. He's someone who likes to throw things around and throw people through things. And he just seems built for this. However, Kenny Williams is the scum of the earth, and matches like this tend to favor the people that are willing to do anything to get ahead in a match. This is the kind of match that is going to play right into that. And I have a feeling that people throughout this match will watch and think Sam Gradwell's got this, but I get the feeling, just like a cockroach, you're not going to be able to put Kenny Williams away. And when all the damage is said and done, he's still going to be crawling around.
Wrestling fan question. During the pandemonium, there were a lot of these matches that were outside of the ring, maybe a cinematic style, if I could use it. This back alley brawl is going to lend itself to that, because there's no ring, there's no crowd. Are you still on board? Are there any fatigue when it comes to those kind of matchups?
I think, depending on how it's done, just like during when everything was closed down and these kind of cinematic matches were happening, some were great, some weren't. There's not an easy way to break it down. They could make it work really well. I think these two guys could. And I think the video team at NXT UK is the kind of team that could really pull it off and make it great. So if they did it, I think I would be pretty confident they would do it well. But also, going back to that empty arena match, I think that NXT UK could also just say, nah, go beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, the video team, it's one, it's iron sharpens iron, because even WWE's production team is another level. But to do it in a way where it's different and uniquely yours is just can't be stated enough. Another issue, my favorite segment of the evening was kind of a little discussion between Ilya Dragunov and Roderick Strong, but the Irish Ace wants some of that too. I said it on Twitter, I want a triple threat match. But it looks like Jordan Devlin may be still in the picture.
Jordan Devlin never left the picture. Jordan Devlin has been the top of the NXT UK pecking order for a long time. He may not have the championship belt, but he still is the guy that
represents
that business. And he's a superstar.
Yeah.
Jordan Devlin is still the guy that represents that brand. He's still the guy that is the standard bearer there. And it's always been just a matter of time before Jordan Devlin decided that title was his. And it looks like he's deciding it. I think Roderick Strong put in a great effort. And I think Dragunov has been a great champion. And I think a triple threat match would also be awesome. However, either way, the Irish Ace is about to become the NXT UK champion.
I'm with it. I love Dragunov. I think Dragunov will be a fantastic boon to any roster. But Jordan Devlin almost seems preordained to be champion of that division. Whether or not it happens remains to be seen. But I'll be rooting for him if there's ever a matchup or the opportunity for him, for sure.
I kind of get almost Drew McIntyre vibes before he won the Royal Rumble and before he got that world title where – not to make a joke of it, but the chosen one. He just felt like
that far back. Okay.
No, not that far back. I mean, like this, his current run on the main roster, but just before he became the world champion, there's that feeling of he's the guy. He's going to be the guy. You could just tell. I feel that same way. I compare that feeling of Drew McIntyre is going to be the guy as I would feel about Jordan Devlin now. I think this is pre-Royal Rumble win. Drew McIntyre is what we're getting in Jordan Devlin right this minute.
The Scottish psychopath era.
Yeah, that he just needs to find himself in that match one more time.
Ooh, I'm on board for that. I would totally buy merch if the shop had NXT UK merch, but that's not the issue of the time. Well, I say that, but I say it every week. So next Thursday, I'll say it again.
I just record evergreen comment.
I know. Where is the merch shop? So our top of the card today was Gallus, Mark, and Joe Coffey in this one against Jack Stars and Dave Massive. And going into this one, I said, you know what? Stars and Massive has the advantage, which Jack said last week, and it was true. Stars and Massive are a different team, and it was Gallus having the communication breakdown. Now, we've talked about this plenty of time there, Jack Farmer, but is this the end of Gallus Boys on Top?
This is that peel the onion moment where there was a lot of layers to what we saw today. And I think someone who maybe doesn't break down the tape quite like we do may have missed a lot of stuff here, but this was very interesting stuff. I want to first start off with Gallus, who, as we've been talking about, not only have they been on a losing streak, but frankly, they've been taking big steps back. And the reason I say that is they used to run the brand. Then they started falling off. But since then, the people that would contend with them have been leaving. There was Grizzled Young Veterans. Now they're gone. You know, Imperium was there. Well, Imperium's on top, but now Imperium's gone. Pretty Deadly, they're the champs now. Well, now Pretty Deadly's gone. You know, Pete Dunne is now gone. Subculture's taken off. But somehow, Gallus still can't win. They should be filling that power vacuum. They should be saying, hey, these guys that took the top spot, they're gone now. That should, by default, put us back on top. But other teams are now leapfrogging them and taking their spot. And that is an incredibly difficult spot to be in. But not only that, you have Mastiff and Stars, a team that I think we would call the underdog team to begin with here. Agreed. And not only did they get the win, but in the way they got the win, you mentioned it was a miscommunication, and it was poetic, Flobo, how this loss occurred for the same reason that Mastiff and Stars lost their last match. Mastiff didn't trust Stars and tagged himself in because he didn't believe Stars was going to get the job done. We saw the exact same thing this time on the team against Mastiff and Stars, where Joe Coffey tagged himself in, I believe, because he did not believe, he did not trust that Mark Coffey was going to be able to get the win and get the pin here today. And that is how the team lost. And without that trust, this team will not succeed. They will not get make it. Now, of course, in the past, with Mastiff and Stars, they were able to get together. They were able to work through it. And now Jack Stars, he's no longer Mastiff's little buddy. He's more like Mastiff's little sawed-off shotgun. They worked together. They became more powerful. But as we saw backstage with Gallus, Joe Coffey is unwilling to work together to build that trust back. And I think there is no way they are going to come back from this.
As my broadcast colleague Jack Farmer would say, we are parking our cars in the same garage. Dylan Matthews says, Gallus, pull the pin already. Ooh. So, I mean, is this the end, do you think?
It's been a slow death, I think.
Fair enough.
I would say the end already happened. I think they're done. They just don't know it yet.
Quantum of Solace, I get it. And Stars and Mastiff, number two contenders, you think?
Yeah. No. I would give DeFamilia the number one spot, or number two spot.
Fair enough. Assuming
Ready and Forward are the number one contenders since they get the next match, I would put DeFamilia next.
If there are power rankings, Jack has Stars and Mastiff at number three contenders. Imagine that. So if you are a Stars and Mastiff fan, you can reach him at Real Jack Farmer to complain. All right, we got to head over to stateside, you know, the American side. Our announce tables are calling us. Let's get to our main event because it had a lot of peculiarities. Tag team championships were vacated. The reason not stated on NXT, but yeah, we had a gauntlet match between the Creed brothers who drew number one and apparently liked it. Pfft, losers. Against the Briggs and Jensen, Legado de Fantasma, the Legados, Waller and Sangha, and the eventual winners, Pretty Deadly. Now, Jack, I'm going to ask you to break down the match. I know there's a lot going on here, but my first question is this. Pretty Deadly came in to NXT 2.0 at basically a cold start. Now, we're NXT UK fans. We know how good they are, but is their introduction a disservice for them stateside?
Not at all. They're exactly where they're supposed to be. And I felt very vindicated, Flobo, because when they showed up, I said, and of course you were with me because you know Pretty Deadly, that they were stars. They were going to be the guys that really showed out and really won people over. Now, Twitter, they were worried. They were, who are these guys? Elton Prince? What kind of name is that? They did not believe. But I saw as this match was happening, Twitter was abuzz about these two dandy highwaymen. And I think they have stolen the hearts of the people here in America already. You can say I was texting you as this was happening. These guys are going to be stars. They are going to be the biggest things going in NXT for a while. I don't think they're going to be in NXT 2.0 long. I think they're going to be main roster very soon. They've got the size. They look amazing. They wrestle well. They are incredibly charismatic. And I always say with them, too, it's the in-between stuff. They're always doing their little fingers. They're always doing their little dances. They're constantly doing things to get you to want to see more of them. Pretty Deadly. Farmers Market. Buy of the year. Do it now.
So cool when you actually pick a pony and they actually bear fruit. Wait, that's a mixed metaphor, but you know exactly what I'm saying. New champions here. Creed Brothers got a fantastic story. Run the gauntlet. Look at the crowds behind them as well. Diamond Mine's been floating in between being a protagonist and antagonist, but for the Creeds, they seem to be fan favorites now. People think they're legit. I know they're legit. What's next for them? We're talking about a one-on-one contest to get those titles back, or they have to go through the tag team ranks, especially they pretty much lost their match last week or this week.
They really impressed me. I mean, they have really impressed me. They've been impressive since the beginning, but there's always been this level of, yeah, they look fit, they look talented, they look good. But every wrestler or every tag team always has that match that makes you go, okay, these guys have arrived. They're legit. They're the big deal. And this was that match for the Creed brothers.
This was
the match that made you go, these guys aren't just the the flavor of the month. These guys aren't just kind of good or interesting, or this isn't just a kind of one-off with them. These guys can go. They were in there for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
They took a ton of punishment, and they kept on ticking, kept on fighting. They still get pretty deadly a fight at the end here. I was a little angry, though, with Vic Joseph at the end of this match.
Really?
Constantly acting like Pretty Deadly did something wrong because they got drawn the last draw, acting like for some reason this wasn't fair to the Creeds that they got drawn number one, when that is the rules and how the match works, and the Creed brothers were excited about it in the first place. I don't like the way Vic Joseph was trying to spin his narrative on Pretty Deadly. But that's Creed brothers were pretty impressive.
I can't believe I'm defending Vic Joseph because I don't think he knows I'm alive. But the fact that they got even in the match in the first place, there's no GM at NXT 2.0. You can't attack someone backstage and then be like, yeah, put me in a match. Like, who's approving that?
I think the powers that be could just see Pretty Deadly and knew that they were the ones to be there. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't end, it doesn't matter because that is how the match works. The Pretty Deadly didn't break any rules. They did nothing wrong. That is how the match is supposed to go. Are they supposed to go, like, jog a couple miles before they get into the ring so it's fair? What's the point of the gauntlet match? The idea is that that's how it plays out. Vic Joseph playing favorites. Fortunately, Wade Barrett is always very calm, cool, and collected and calls it down the middle.
Oh, yeah, but Wade Barrett's my favorite, man. Him and Nigel will tear it up. And I thought it was a British thing, just a talent thing. Dylan Matthews says, this just goes to show that if you have good shampoo and conditioner routine, you too can be a champion. That's
right. You know, Dylan, he says that, and you laugh, but I challenge you to find any wrestler with great hair who wasn't also successful.
Well, on that note, let's talk about a North American title match. Cameron Grimes and his hair had a match against Solo Sikoa, who's quickly becoming one of my favorites on this brand, full stop. North American Championship match, and I'm going to say it, I should be in a new t-shirt design, but even in defeat, Solo impressed and mentioned a couple Bloodline references. Talk to me this, Jack. Solo Sikoa is mentioning Bloodline references. Trick Williams getting involved. North American title division is getting hotter than ever, even post Carmelo Hayes.
The Bloodline references, I think, are great. I never understand why we don't let people know that wrestlers are related or connected in some way. I think it just makes everyone seem like bigger stars. So I like that they're referencing that. I think they should. I think they should lean into it. We all know. Quit pretending like it's not there.
I agree, disagree.
Oh?
Well, I don't want to cut you off there, sir.
Yeah, no, tell me. Why do you disagree?
So As fans who know relationships outside of wrestling might be on Twitter, there is a frustration there. I wanted to be Rex Steiner because his dad's a Steiner, or I want them to realize that, whatever. But I'm a comic book reader. I like having my own Spider-Man and realizing he's in a dimension where there's other Spider-Men. Like, I remember a time where Superman had a bunch of spinoffs, like Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, Superman's dog, Crypto, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Everything just kind of felt connected in a weird derivative way. So if your boy Solo came out as Uso 3 or Jackson Uso, I'd be like, oh, another one over here? Okay, cool. But now if Solo Sikoa becomes Solo Sikoa and then joins the Bloodline, I go, wow, supergroup, I'm in.
I'm okay with the names being different. The name, yeah. Solo Sikoa sounds cool. I just mean the pretending he's not
related. So with Solo's situation, and I'm not sure if it's still true, but when he had his first promo, he goes, I was left alone at 15 to fend for myself on the island. So I always assumed that that was a year that the Usos were signed, that was kind of like his backstory. There was some resentment there. But if it becomes like an affinity thing and they become part of the Bloodline, that's cool. But I always took it as like, I don't really know them. I'm over here.
Again, it's okay if that's the case too. I mean, it's more the pretending that they're not connected. A bit like Braun Breaker at first. Now I don't mind that his name is Braun Breaker anymore. I've come to live with it. And you don't need to constantly reference that he's related to the Steiners, but at least, yeah, he is. We know. Okay, cool. Like that's part of, but he doesn't obviously need to come out and be like, as the son of Rick Steiner. You know, right. All the time. But we don't just quit pretending that they're not related, I guess, is my thing.
Well, let's talk about that right now, because there was a time where I thought it was going to be mentioned at all, but then we had the Hall of Fame ceremony, and we had all the festivities, and now Joe Gacy outright kidnapped Rick Steiner, and now Braun has a personal vendetta that seemingly comes out of left field, but if you've been watching NXT 2.0, it totally makes sense. So thoughts about this, the next step of this Joe Gacy Braun Breaker thing.
There was such a powerful line during these promos where Gacy says, "Truth is what people believe, not what people know." And that's actually a very, very hard-hitting quote. I thought what Gacy did here just continued into how good of a person Joe Gacy is. You'll notice he had Rick Steiner, but he peacefully and safely let Rick Steiner go. And then he threw the Hall of Fame ring into the fire pit, as he said, to test Braun Breaker's family. He was helping to test him, helping him to show just how strong those family bonds are. And of course, pulling the ring out of the fire and putting that ring on, making Joe Gacy probably the youngest Hall of Famer in WWE history. I think this is actually a really cool accolade that we saw. And again, Vic Joseph, not really talking about it as much. Joe Gacy, congratulations on the WWE Hall of Fame ring. That's really cool.
That was the most Isle of Dawn thing I've seen all week. Just taking a ring out of fire and then forging it to yourself. That doesn't make you a Hall of Famer, Jack. You need accolades. You need wins. You need years of tenure. You need a ceremony. Not just hardware.
You need a ring. And that's what Joe Gacy's got.
Fair enough. Thoughts about this feud, though. I know we want to see Joe Gacy get in the ring with Braun Breaker, but this is going to be a challenge for Braun, or is it going to be pretty much easy work for him?
I think this is going to be the toughest match of Braun Breaker's career. Physically, I think when you look at the measurables, of course, Braun Breaker outshines Joe Gacy across the board. This is the case, though, of Joe Gacy is in Braun Breaker's head. This is that classic example when you think of, you know, American football, where you may have a football team that has the better quarterback, has the better receivers, has the better line, but you got Bill Belichick on the other team.
Ooh, cheat code.
That's the difference here. Joe Gacy may not have all the pieces as far as, like I said, the strength, the explosiveness, but he's in the mind of Braun Breaker, and that is the most powerful attribute you can have.
Ooh, the mind games. I love that.
And he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, come on.
See, he's not a Hall of Famer, Jack. That's not how it works. I'm not the United Kingdom champion, and Joe Gacy isn't a Hall of Famer.
If you had a Hall of Fame ring, we would talk about that, but we're not talking. That's just a belt.
Oh, it's a title. Belt's all over your pants.
Well, technically, that's the belt. The title is the one that...
Fair enough. let's talk about titles. Our NXT Women's Championship was on the line as Mandy Rose versus Dakota Kai in a match where, you know, I would be on board if Dakota Kai won this match, but it's been all toxic attraction ever since Stand and Deliver. This one here is another display of Mandy's strength and power. Phantom GM, let me ask you this. SmackDown called up Raquel Rodriguez over Kai. Was that the right move?
Dakota Kai is one of the most versatile wrestlers in WWE. I think she could go on any brand. I think she has everything you want. It was a big win by Mandy and Toxic Attraction. They stay on top, as you mentioned. Dakota Kai, though, is in a tough spot. No singles title runs for her. And it's weird because she's absolutely talented enough. I think on paper, in every way, she should have had a title run at this point. But she just hasn't. And I think it's so unfortunate. I don't mean to keep referencing American football, but it's very Dan Marino, you know.
Ooh.
Great in every way, but for some reason just can't seem to get the title. I don't know where she goes from here. I think maybe a main roster call-up would be good for her because it would give her another opportunity to get some hardware that she really deserves. But I don't know. It's unfortunate because she's gotten the chances. And she's always done well, just hasn't been able to get the 3 seconds of dominance that she needs.
Well, speaking of upsetting the apple cart like Dan Marino did for the Dolphins, Wendy Chu gets involved with Super Soakers. That's kind of fun. Wendy Chu, I thought, would have been a flash in the pan, not because of her skills, because people tend to get bored of very cool characters on Twitter, is here to stay and now getting involved in the title picture.
I don't understand why she went out there and sprayed everyone with Super Soakers. She's constantly
getting... What are Super Soakers for, Jack?
They're for children. Wendy Chu needs to go back and take a nap. That's what she needs to do. Ooh. I don't understand why she keeps getting in their business. Have you noticed? We always boo Mandy Rose. We always give her a hard time. We give Toxic Attraction a hard time. But have you noticed? Look back, run the tape. Wendy Chu constantly coming after them, spraying them with Super Soakers, getting involved in their matches. They've never gotten involved with her. Then you go back before that. Dakota Kai throwing things around backstage. I'm coming for you, Mandy Rose. What the heck is that all about? You go back before that. You got Kaylee Ray attacking her with baseball bats and spaghetti bowls. Right? What are you talking about? Then you've got the winners of the Dusty Cup. We don't even want the tag team titles. We want you, Mandy. Mandy Rose has done nothing. She's just the champion, and everyone wants to kill her for some reason. All she's done is raise the credibility and value of the NXT 2.0 championship, and everyone hates her for it.
You know, you're an old man like I am, Jack. Do you remember the video game Paperboy? Or do you know an older relative who remembers the game Paperboy? So that game is just a poor kid delivering papers, but everyone wants this kid dead. Dogs, panes of glass, birds pooping on them. Same thing. If you're the champion, everyone's coming after you.
Do birds poop on you in Paperboy?
I think they do.
You said I can't remember.
Yeah. Anyway, Mandy Rose, of course, is going to have a rogues gallery. People want to take her down because she is a champion. That's what comes with the territory.
And to your point, Paperboy in that game is the good guy. And we all cheer for him and want him to make it. Just like we do with Mandy Rose.
You cheer Mandy Rose. You and Malik Blade cheer for Mandy Rose. Me, I'm like, I don't know.
but my question is, why? What has Mandy Rose done that's so wrong that makes you not like her?
Oh, yeah, because she's on the phone like, what's up, bitches? Comes out, she's like, Toxic Attraction. It's like, okay, we get who you are. Don't be in that Pokemon say your name out loud business. Win matches and just make it happen. Not like, we're toxic. That's, I think, why everyone's like Mandy Rose.
Tell me you don't say toxic every time you walk into a room.
I do not.
I do. Okay.
He's warning people. I'm toxic. Mandy. Fine. Free Wendy Chu, because it's up to Jack. She'll probably be in prison. So.
Yeah, well, she should be. She broke the law. Also, why are we cheering for this thief that attacks people randomly for no reason?
Speaking of people that attack people for no reason, Von Wagner got into trouble by launching Kushida backstage, and Nikki Manjuro tries to fight for the spirit of his fallen friend. I thought this was going to be originally a way of not having the match at all, but we got that match, and poor Nikki Manjuro was outmanned and outgunned. Robert Stonebrand is a fantastic manager, and I think Von Wagner has a bit of a future, but Jack Fromm, I still think something is missing between them despite the victory this week.
Yeah, the attack on Jacket Time worried me, but I rested easy knowing that I'm sure Kushida will have a match with Wagner in the future.
Stop with the time stuff.
But I don't understand. You know, it was so frustrating because they were out there, and out of nowhere, Jiro just attacks Robert Stone for no reason. Fortunately, Von Wagner was there to protect the innocent, stop the attack. And then it was done, and it should have been done, I'll be honest. But, of course, a beautiful woman told Von Wagner to throw Jiro into the crowd, and it's not the craziest thing a guy has done for a beautiful woman, so, of course.
What's up with that, you think? A new signee? A valet? A manager? What do you think?
You just mentioned Von Wagner may be missing a little something. I think Robert Stone knows that and is getting Von Wagner the accessory he needs to make him look great.
Well, I guess we're getting our factions here between Robert Stonebrand and the new Robert Stonebrand and Diamond Mind. You know, there is a War Games thing happening in a couple of months. I don't know. I'm just saying. NXT 2.0 can have more stables, is what I'm saying.
Will War Games happen in a few months?
I hope so.
Has 2.0 been around for almost a year?
Yeah, September. September 14th was the original episode.
Wow.
Down South's way.
Wow, what is time, Kushida?
Stop blaming him. He's a good man.
Right? Cena needs to quit messing with the timeline. It's throwing everything off.
Look, it was 2019. It was a panorama. Now it's 2023. It's just the way it happens. It's pandemonium. Also backstage, something that was pretty interesting. The Dawn of NXT, Tony Angelo and Santos Escobar had a bit of an exchange, which was so fun because I'm sure if you thought this way, but I had such Lucha Underground vibes of having backstage characters like talking shop with envelopes, exchanges, and suits. It was great.
This was fun to watch play out. I agree. 100% A plus, two thumbs up, five stars, whatever you want to give it. Yeah. I like this. I like where it's going, and it played out perfectly. No notes.
So the question I have, you're the Don of NXT, and you tried to befriend Santos Escobar. And you know, it looks like it's going to be a match on the horizon, but you know, Don stink two, three steps ahead. Is it all for gold for Tony G? Is that the main goal? Or is it really just establishing your dominance in that division?
It's power. Right power. Now, he wants power. Yeah. Once he has the power, he'll get the gold.
Cool. Speaking of that power balance, Cora Jade, can you believe it? Former number one contender for the Women's Championship, gets in the ring, and it's like, I got a thing to say. But then that guitar riff we all know and love came out, and Natalya was a bit on the receiving end of some starstruckness from Cora, but Natalya showed her teeth. It was this evil and put the whole women's locker room on notice. Now, a lot of these main roster casts been heading down to Orlando on Tuesday to throw their weight around. But why does it feel different with Natalya, Jack?
Natalya is one of the greatest legends of the women's division. And it was actually, I really enjoyed seeing her come out and getting the reaction she got from everybody and the appreciation she got. I think main roster has taken her for granted a little bit and has gotten a little too comfortable seeing a living legend. And I think the NXT 2.0 group got to see a legend and was really appreciative of it. And so I thought that was cool to see. It was cool to see Cora Jade see someone that she claims to have loved her whole life and claims to have been a fan of her whole life. But if Cora Jade had really been a fan of Natty and had really been watching her, she wouldn't have been surprised when this happened. She wouldn't have been caught off guard by this. Flobo, you've known me for a while. If I stab you in the back, are you going to act like you're surprised?
No, because you say explicitly, I will stab you in the back constantly.
Yes. So why was Cora Jade surprised when Natty attacked her? This is Natty 101. This is what Natty does. Why was she surprised?
I did not expect Natalya to throw out a Scorpion Deathlock over Cora Jade. It was crazy. It was unexpected. Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting, though. I thought the first match was Cora Jade, but stepping up was Tatum Paxley, which I remember from an episode of Level Up being destroyed by Ivy Nile for losing a matchup with her. So I'm a bit, not say confused, I'm a bit interested in this. Natalya basically demolished Cora Jade, can probably go up the division if he wants to, takes on someone with a very unfavorable win-loss record in Tatum Paxley.
I think that Tatum Paxley showed me a lot today. Tatum Paxley did exactly what they are, someone like her is supposed to do in her situation. I always say, you got to find a way to get a spot. You got to find a way to prove yourself. You got to find this stuff. Now, Tatum Paxley could have sat in the back and hoped she had an opportunity to show what she can do, especially coming off a tough loss. But instead of doing that, as Natty was walking through that locker room area, she said to herself, nope, I'm going to step up. I'm going to take my chance. I'm going to take my shot. Win, lose, or draw, she's going to get time in there with one of the best to ever do the thing. And I think she's going to become better for it. Tatum Paxley, all-star moment, gutsy moment, but a good one. I think this is good for her.
As JR would say, more guts than brains. You don't go up against a top. She just put someone in the scorpion. Okay, anyway.
Tatum Paxley's probably going to get beat pillar to post, but she will. It'll still improve her down the road.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, I love the fact that Fallon Henley is coming to her own with Briggs and Jensen, even though Briggs and Jensen themselves are kind of goofy. I do like the fact that like Fallon may be the breakout character in that trio, which is neither here nor there.
Possibly. I was going to say in that gauntlet match, they're great in the ring, though. They're big, they're hard hitting. They have great like power double team maneuvers.
Oh, yeah.
They just got to get their head in the game.
Oh, that's the only problem I think I have with Briggs and Jensen. You can't have all these, and we say the tools a lot, but you have the tools, you have a look, you have a vibe. I could definitely see you on a poster or a production truck, but I don't want to hear you striking out on Tinder. That's just weird. That's right. Not very American at all.
We always talk about these dream managerial pairings. I would say I want to see JBL team with them and just teach them to be heartless brawlers. I think that's the kind of guy that I think would really help them out.
Actually, I would say that in a Ted DiBiase way, right? It's from a governor of the era.
Yep.
I was a big fan of JBL. Even though now as an adult, I realize that if JBL were a real person, I probably wouldn't be friends with them. But as a kid or as a teenager, I was like, yes.
I love JBL. I loved him. I thought he was great.
I am rich. Why are you booing? It's classic. I'll never get old for me.
Yeah.
Couple questions here before we get out. Draco Anthony takes on Zion Quinn. And Draco Anthony is one of those prospects. If I was in the farmer's market, I'll say buy and hold. Question, though, and it's not really an indictment on skill. But in 2.0, it looks like Twitter is saying it's coming to its own finally 9 months in or 7 months in. But it feels Zion Quinn had a head start. But it's not quite there anymore. What is Zion Quinn missing there, Jack?
The fact that he can't mind his own business.
That's
what's been holding him back from the get-go. You talked about he had the head start. What was the head start? It was him butting into the Legato's business.
Legato's.
It was just change the name to Legato's.
Legato's.
And you have to say it like that. That's Legato's.
like Broadbreaker.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cruz del Toro.
But he's constantly getting out of people's business. Now he's literally in a fight with Draco Anthony because he can't mind his own business. And by the way, Zion proving Draco right in this after he's hitting his moves, after he could have gotten the pin earlier, but still attacking Draco. Zion, like a monster of a human being. Get out of everyone's business, man. Focus on yourself. Go after some titles. Go after some real competition. Why isn't Zion saying, Solo Sikoa, let's have a match. Boa, let's have a match. Let me prove myself. Instead, he's so busy saying, oh, you're watching TV? You need to get your head out of there. You know, like, what's he doing? Leave Draco alone. Draco's a grown man.
Fair enough. Hashtag push Boa. But you're fair enough, man. I'm with you. Zion Quinn, man, it's a great look. Looks like the best kind of downloadable content, but for some reason, just gets himself in these weird situations. And lastly this week, because we can't end the show without this, this whole Duke Hudson, Persia Parada, Dexter Lumis, Indy Hartwell thing. Because now, after weeks of going at it, each other in a adversarial relationship, Indy and Persia wants their men to team up, which I can tell you firsthand, I hate when there's a couples thing. I hate couples things. Jack Farmer, are you on board with this still?
No. I think Index just needs to leave Duja alone. Flo, but we've all been in those situations. Every guy has been in that situation where your girlfriend's friend has a boyfriend and they want you two to be friends and they force you to do stuff together, force you to try to get along. And I'm just going to say it. It's the worst.
I hate play dates.
It's the worst. And you have to find common ground and you got to chit chat and you got to pretend like you're going to be friends when you both know that if one of you breaks up with your prospective girlfriend, you're never going to talk again. And that the friendship is clearly a tertiary friendship in the first place. I feel bad for Duke Hudson having to sit through this. I feel bad for Duke Hudson having to live through all this and this just terrible, toxic relationship that Index is trying to pull Duja into.
Is this a face turn? Because I agree with you 100%.
I like how it's a face turn for me saying I hate having to go on fake.
Because it's weird, man. Because you know, the ladies are out there doing stuff, and you're sitting there going, so my girlfriend said you like sports. You like sports? I like sports. It's so awkward.
Is funny. Sports is always the first thing that guys go to every time.
Yeah. You like a team? I like a team.
I like a team. Oh, your team's pretty good. Yeah, your team's pretty good. Anyways, we should go to a game sometime. Yeah, as you both think, no, we're not.
No, we're not doing that stuff because they don't like other games. All right, so they're not even going to be in the tag team division. I guess it's another way to keep the story going. I don't know what the resolution is going to be, It looks like both couples are happy individually. What's going to be the end, do you think?
I think the end is what we've all been seeing for such a long time here, and that is that finally Indy Hartwell will leave Dexter Lumis, and they will – I don't know if it's too late to annul their marriage. Hopefully they can just do one of those it-never-happened things. Hopefully Indy Hartwell gets away from that toxic Dexter Lumis, and he can go his separate ways, and then Indy Hartwell can find true happiness and quit being so clingy to Duja and quit being so trying to drive a wedge between them and being so jealous of their love. That's what's going to happen.
Well, according to the state of Florida law, there is no limitations on an annulment, so there's that.
Congratulations, Indy. You can still act like this never happened.
Draped and go, edutainment. you get to learn and think. Jack Farr, before we get out of here, man, that time for the MVP of NXT. Who's looking out for you this week?
This is going to be a strange one, but I'm going Nathan Frazier, who is announced to be making his trip across to the US of A to perform at NXT 2.0. And I think that's going to be a huge thing for him. I think he's going to do very well. For people who don't know Nathan Frazier, he's been trained by Seth Rollins himself. So he's definitely got the pedigree already, has done very good over in NXT UK. And I know that a lot of our viewers and listeners are already fans of NXT UK. But what I'm really hoping with this new influx of people coming from NXT UK is people are going to start going, man, Rhea Ripley, she's great. Where'd she come from? UK? Oh, Dewdrop's great. She came from UK. Toni Storm, when she was here, she was from NXT UK also. That's cool. Pretty Deadly, NXT UK. Pete Dunne, NXT UK. Ridge Holland, NXT UK. Wow, these guys are all from NXT UK. That's cool. Now we got A-Kid. They're great. Now we got Nathan Frazier. They're great. And I'm hoping that this will be another thing that makes people go, you know what? I'm finally going to go check out NXT UK and give those guys some support because they deserve it. They earn it, and it's an incredible show.
Absolutely. My pick is another NXT UK alum, Pretty Deadly. To NXT 2.0, getting on top of the tag team division, a very competitive tag team division by brute force and ingenuity. Yes, boy, collecting gold. And as you said, the future's bright. There is a high ceiling for that group. And I still love it when Nigel goes, Dandy Highwayman. So I hope that you can have a lot more matches with Nigel in commentary.
I agree. I hope I would be okay if Wade Barrett started calling him the Dandy Highwayman and just continue that. They're the Dandy Highwayman. Let him be known as that. But congrats to Pretty Deadly. They're fantastic.
Man, Jack Farmer, you're going to take a bit of a leave next week on Draped in Gold, where we have a very special guest here in the booth in your place. But in the meantime, though, if someone want to interact with you or check out WWE Evil, how they go about doing that?
Well, you can find WWE Evil on the Peacock Network. I am on the Roman Reigns and Brothers of Destruction episodes, my favorite episodes, if you don't mind me saying. But I'm going to be missing the show because we're recording some more episodes for the United Wrestling Network's Championship Wrestling. So going to be on location for that next Thursday. You can check me out on those episodes as new episodes start coming out each and every week. At Real Jack Farmer across all social media.
Ah, so smooth, so crisp, and so much content, man, on those social media channels. I'm kind of jealous. I'm running out of pictures soon. But you can follow me at Football Boys on that Twitter. DrapedInGold.com is the name of the show. We're here every Thursday to break down NXT UK, NXT content. So if you listen to this now and you love NXT UK, let us know, man. Let us know. We want to know how deep this community goes. Whew, we made it, man. But as always, good sir, until next time, say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.